Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimise your health and realise your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go! Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia. With state-of-the-art technology, protocols and personalised healthcare, compounded medicines made specifically to your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au. So this is a bit of a different podcast. This one is from the Smarter Not Harder podcast, and it's me talking in Florida at the event that we had last year for the Home Hope Symposium. So all about cannabis, it was a very fun talk and I had a fantastic time. So I hope you all enjoy listening to this. It was so lovely to see you, well, some of you last night. So thank you so much for coming along. And I hope you enjoy my accent because I tend to get that everywhere here when I'm here. I get pulled over in the hallway and get asked to say car park. I don't know why. So today I'm talking about cannabis. It's quite ironic actually because in Australia it is still very limited access. And that is quite the funny part. But I am a bit of a rebel and I do like finding the best things for my clients. And today I wanted to make this a talk for you, make it very clinically relevant, paint a bit of a picture of how beautiful the cannabis plant can be and the enormity of how it treats, and also the system within the system, the endocannabinoid system that we have. I found it so fascinating, and when Dr. Ted asked me to create a module, the advanced module for Home Hope on cannabis, I dived really, really deep. I had a fabulous time doing it, and this is just a small little snippet of what I found out, so let's get started. All right, Dr. Ethan Russo has come up with some fascinating information on cannabis. He does say that cannabis is the single most versatile herbal remedy and the most useful plant on earth. Cannabis has a little bit of a stigma surrounding it. I don't know about you guys here, but we call cannabis smokers in Australia potheads, stoners. It's got a really bad connotation linked to it. I also like breaking the stigma. Natural medicine or alternative medicine has certain things that's said about it. And so I like to really bridge that gap and present a much more professional and medical opinion on that. It is a fantastically useful plant. And I think some medicines and pharmaceuticals should be jealous of cannabis. What it does is incredible. It's definitely not just about getting high, and we do like high at Home Hope. So we're going to do a bit of a walkthrough, just a little bit of an overview of cannabis. Then we're going to have the amazing endocannabinoid ohm. So it's a little bit of a take on the holobiont. And endocannabinoid system, so we're doing a bit of a distribution and regulation. And I'm not sure, has anyone heard of the term endocannabinoid tone? So Ethan Russo also talks a lot about that. And then we'll talk about amazing detection and correction strategies along the same framework that we have here at Home Hope. All right, so it all has to start at the beginning though. From the Tibetan Plateau, cannabis reached Europe approximately 6 million years ago, and it spread as far as eastern China by 1.2 million years ago. Here, really, the origin of cannabis is far spread. The uses of cannabis, and being just a medicine, but it also is a bioaccumulator. It's a bit of a cleanup. So it does have phytoremediation properties and can clean up heavy metals, radio nucleotides, and much more from the soils. So this is also when we're looking at the quality of cannabis, we actually need to make sure that it is grown in the best possible way, and this can affect outcomes. Okay, so the strains, we have a lot of different hybrids out there. So majority is hybrids now, but we do have sativa, indica, and there is a strain called ruderalis, but mainly in the hybrid area as well. So sativa is known for its energizing and uplifting, and indica particularly sedating. So slightly different effects, and now they are combined to have different impacts. All right. Did we know that there was this many cannabinoids? 100 or over 140. I think we're at about 144 at the moment, different cannabinoids. The most well-known being Delta 9, or the lovely Get High one, and the cannabidiol, which is a CBD. These compounds, they interact with the endocannabinoid system, and this plays a role in regulating different physiological processes, which we will go through. So there, that diagram is just a little bit more on the cannabinoid biosynthesis. So here, I really do love this diagram, and I created this for the module. It just gives a really good overview of different actions associated with your different cannabinoids. So CBD, as you can see in the middle, has a huge variety of different uses and actions. And then we go through CBC, CBG, CBGC, and CBN, which all of you have a little bit of a sneaky bit of CBN as well. It's a sedative and sleep inducing. And we also have Delta 9, Delta 8, and there's a few others that we don't know about. So that's a really good chart just to see the comprehensiveness of treatment options for cannabinoids. So we have some cannabinoids here gaining attention. So we have CBG, CBN, Delta 8, and Delta 10. Now Delta 8 got itself into a little bit of trouble recently, but it does have psychoactive effects. So Delta 8 is also known to produce a less intense high than Delta 9. So that's where it got a little bit more of its popularity, use in beer and all sorts. And Delta 10 as well. So that has psychoactive effects, but they're not too sure and there's limited research on that at the moment. So here are some cannabinoids yet to gain attention. Now don't forget there is 144. These are just some of them that we're going through here. But again, little research done on a lot of these. So we have CBND, CBE, CBL, and CBT. So some of these you may not have even seen pop up in any of the research. All right, so when I come to the entourage effect later on, then this is where we have cannabinoids and terpenes really making friends. When we have terpenes are in multiple plant worlds, and we have more than 200 different terpenes. Terpenes make it have its distinct smell and taste, but it also has been identified for a lot of different therapeutic actions. So these therapeutic actions are listed here, again, in a lovely diagram, as I say that because I created it. Pinene, limonene, you know, limonene, obviously lemon. So there's some that you may recognize here, but they do have these as isolations that can also be used for therapeutic use. All right, so now we get to the good part. So at Home Hope, and this is what I loved in my practice, and this is what I wanted to bring more to my practice. Naturopathic medicine is holistic in itself, but what I love about health optimization medicine and practice is the dashboard, as Ted had spoken about earlier. And you really get a good understanding of exactly what your client is needing. And there's multiple dashboards across different tools that you can also be using. At Home Hope, a holobiont approach is taken, and understanding the interdependence of all the systems, organs and body parts and the diverse community around it. So cannabis, its components and interactions are no different. And so this is where the endocannabinoidome comes in. When we're looking at the entourage effect, it's the combination of cannabinoids, terpenes in cannabis medicine, And this was first proposed by Raphael. And the endocannabinoid system exhibits increased activity when the inactive metabolites are also closely related to the molecules. So we're actually combining the whole plant really for optimal impact and optimal effect on our clients. Botanical drugs may be more effective than isolated components due to the entourage effect, which has been popularized by Ethan Russo. When we look at these specific treatments, we're actually making sure that we're actually matching some of these impacts across. And when they are combined, they definitely have more power. And I see that as more of a, even as a community of people, if you bind together and you have a lot more power, you have a lot more support. So here, when I found this diagram, I was so excited and I said to Dr. Ted, I'm like, Dr. Ted, I found something like the whole of Lion. And I don't know if he was so, as excited as me, but I was. When you have here, this diagram explains that really exclusive, huge, expanded endocannabinoid system. So the interaction between lipid mediators, 20 biosynthetic or inactivated enzymes, more than 20 molecular targets, and so much more. So this all regulates and maintains a homeostasis by regulating pain, appetite, mood, immunity, stress response, sleep, and more. So now we dive into the actual endocannabinoid system, and it is a relatively new system. So we talk here about the cannabinoid receptors and how we actually have these beautiful use of endocannabinoids within ourselves as well. So here this diagram just really explains more visually about the expanse and the spread of CB1 and CB2 receptors across the whole body. There is not many places that these receptors don't reach in the body. It is an all-encompassing system. And as I said, there is only a small amount of areas that aren't covered by this system. What we have is our own endocannabinoids and cannabinoids that can interact with these particular receptors. So CB1 is primarily located in the central nervous system and the brain, and the first to be isolated. CB2 receptors are present in the immune system and specific immune cells. We also have throughout the central nervous system, and also they play a role in the effect of the cannabinoids on inflammation and immunological function. So there is a little bit of information there about where they exhibit the effects. They also modulate the activity of the calcium and the potassium channels, ion channels. So here we have more cannabinoid receptors. Now there are a few more, but these are the major ones that I wanted to present to you today. So you had a really good overall information area for cannabis. GPR18 is recently discovered, a non-CB1, CB2 cannabinoid receptor expressed in the immune tissues and exerts a variety of physiological effects, and it's still being investigated. GPR55 is activated by cannabinoids like THC and CBD, as well as endogenous cannabinoids like 2-AG, which I'll talk about in a minute, and anandamide, which is our beautiful bliss. So TRPV1, and this compound gives spicy peppers their heat, and it can also be activated by cannabinoids and anandamide and THC. This is really closely involved in pain perception. So when I'm treating my clients, and I was asked this last night, and it's really hard to pick out all these tools that we are constantly learning. And cannabis is just one of those parts of the tools. However, because of its expanse across the whole body, it can have so many uses, but it's set and setting. And it really is important to actually know when and how and where and what, just like any other tool that we're using to put it in. I will talk through a little bit more about posology, which is dosing, later on. But when we have our own use for these receptors, and these are anandamide, and these are our own endocannabinoids, and so they can actually help bind and support our receptor strength as well. So this binds to CB1 receptor, anandamide. This is the runner's high. So you go for a run and you feel on top of the world. It is a most amazing feeling. Unfortunately, I get that, but I also have a genetic trait that will break down my anandamide too quickly, which I found out when I did the genetic testing. So I have to do lots of running. So associated also with mood regulation and pleasure. Anandamide's effects are diverse and can include pain modulation, appetite control, and regulation of stress responses. And it is synthesized on demand and in response to specific physiological signals. So as I said, it is broken down by FAAH, and that is unfortunately my problem. So I'm more susceptible to stress if I don't have enough anandamide. 2AG is another. So these are also called our signaling molecules, these endocannabinoids. So 2AG, prominent endocannabinoid, it interacts with both receptors and it's found in high concentrations in the central nervous system. And 2AG plays a significant role in modulating pain, perception, inflammation, immune responses, and neuroprotection. So it is produced in larger quantities than compared to anandamide, and it's stored in cell membranes where it can be released as needed in response to physiological states. So we also have endocannabinoid-like compounds. So we have NADA, PEA, OEA, and also 2AGE. Because of my systematic mind, and I like to treat, and I like to know, and I'm very inquisitive around all of this, you know, well, how do we know what we're going to treat? Or how do we know if we need to treat? These are the biggest questions. Like, I've got cannabis, who needs to use it? How am I going to determine this? So this is where detection comes in. And this is, again, part of the framework for health optimization, medicine and practice. So we can assess tone, and I'll talk a little bit more about tone in a minute, and this is a major part of detection. We can use reports like EndoDNA, the one that I was talking about before, where you can actually test your addiction, you can test your breakdown, you can test your specific surrounding need for certain ratios with cannabis. You can also test the plasma, but it's quite invasive, cerebral spinal fluid, and as Kieran told me last night, there is GI testing that can test for receptor strength. We have multiples, and I'm sure there is a lot more to come in terms of testing for detection of endocannabinoid system. So therefore, how do we correct? And correction comes from phytoendocannabinoids using correct posology, which I call it, you know, it's a dosing, and home hope foundational health balancing. You want that brickwork, and this is what, in a very simple term, we talk about at health optimization, medicine and practice. It's that foundational brickwork, so therefore we can optimize on top of that. And that is the beautiful picture of health optimization. All right, so the endocannabinoid tone theory, or ECT, or clinical endocannabinoid deficiency. So here we have low and high symptoms. So you can track via symptoms. So you can assess via symptoms. And this little part here, this is actually just a section out of my test, and it shows that I do have a higher breakdown. So the individual endocannabinoid tone reflects the levels of endocannabinoids like anandamide and 2AG and their synthesis, catabolism, and cannabinoid receptor density. So deficiency may cause conditions like migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, and pain, while excess may occur in obesity and metabolic conditions, as you can see on that diagram there. So decreased tone may lower pain threshold. So that's some of the things that you can see with clients, and impact digestion, mood, and sleep. So tone can decrease also due to genetic and congenital injury or disease-related reasons as well. So this little diagram down the bottom here is the trifecta, coined by Russo as well. This is more common in women, and I've seen this in a few of my clients, which has been fascinating after I did the research here. And you see a combination of these different symptoms, whether it's all three or two, migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel, more common in women. And this is significant of a low endocannabinoid tone. All right. So, posology. Cannabis is a different ball game when coming to prescribing. It can be overwhelming. It can be really confusing for practitioners who are used to prescribing in other ways. So it's important to remember that this THC and CBD and other parts of the plant, of the cannabis plant, can be biphasic in properties. Low can give low and high doses, so they generate the opposite effect. So low can produce high effects, and high can produce low effects. So starting slow and going slow is really the key when it comes to cannabis prescribing. So it can be very effective at low dose. So I'll show you a teeter strategy. So it's really important, and I've noticed this through my clients as well, is to teeter or titer the dose really, really slowly. And you can actually get to a point where you're getting impact and then bring that back down again. And it's individual for each and every person. So you can't give a specific dose for one person and expect to suit all, as we do with all of the other medicines. So here you can see a little bit of an idea there and the interactions that it has within the enzymes as well. So we have the CBD and also CBN and THC. So here is just a bit of an example of what it might look like to see a little bit of a teeter dosing strategy there. There's also so many forms of cannabis, and that is the confusing part as well. We've got smoking, vaporizing, edibles, juicing, tinctures, capsules, suppositories, and topical as well. What do we choose? And that's also considerations for our clients as well. Vaporizing is preferable over smoking. Smoking, we do have impacts on the lungs. Everyone knows the side effects of THC. That's the one that obviously gets us high, but it can be disorientating. So that can come with dizziness. It can come with feeling a little bit nauseous, same with CBD, but there's more of us know the side effects, and it can be unpleasant for some and pleasant for some, depending on what you're expecting and the dose that you're using for these. Although normally CBD is relatively safe and doesn't come with side effects, it can have a few, and these are the ones that we look at. So sedation, decreased appetite, elevated liver function tests, vomiting, pneumonia, and there's some that can lead to a little bit of tiredness, and then obviously not recommended to smoke because of the side effects on the lungs. All right, so it wouldn't be complete without looking at what else you can do for your endocannabinoid system. But fats is a big one to have as a combination with your CBD. And they found that it was increased by 14 times in the blood when consumed with fat. In this little diagram here, all of these are huge components of being healthy, of your endocannabinoid system health. And this is social interactions pulled out there, just as an example. But all of these things are equally as important to balance a really good endocannabinoid system. All right, so we have some misconceptions here. This concerns, obviously, the stigma surrounding cannabis. The more we know about it and the way that we can see it grown and all these other things is really, really important. So we have here some quality variances, adulteration, we've got the pesticide residue, heavy metal contamination. Being that bioaccumulator, it can take on a lot more. So the use of various growth hormones, they all affect the profile of the cannabinoids and the terpenes as well. So IQ is a huge one. A lot of people associate cannabis with low IQ. That's where the stoner and the pothead comes in. And increased consumption has been associated with lower short-term memory. However, they found that this is not a permanent change and it generally resolves except when there has been chronic use at a younger age. And this is the same with psychosis as well. So we can test for schizophrenic tendencies through genetics. And this is what I recommend to those who have had any experience or bad experience with cannabis in the past to make sure that we don't have susceptibility towards schizophrenia or psychosis. And then we're actually looking at more likely being a genetic issue. If that happens, it's not high risk, but there's definitely an increased risk in some. And those also who have consumed it at a very young age in a developing brain. So addiction and dependence, some of these tests that you can see who's more likely to become addicted to substances and not. 4% compared to 14% alcohol, what's worse? Yes. Now, fertility is a big one. There's more research that is needed. THC is mainly associated with the fertility issues, reduced sperm quality and menstrual cycle disturbances. Obviously, not recommended in pregnancy. And normally with my clients, I tell them to avoid cannabis for a period of time, especially when I'm looking at my fertility clients. Now, I found personal lubricants, inhalers, inhalable powders, toothpaste, breast strips, pet products, and beer, cocktails, it goes on. There's so much more coming out at the moment. However, as you can imagine, there is consumer issues. We have quality, consistency, dosing. We have cultivation practices, tracking pesticides and chemical residues, molds and fungus, heavy metals, microbial contamination, and it goes on. Standardization, testing challenges, regulatory oversight. Label and packaging, confusing packaging, and this is where Delta 8 got itself into trouble. You can get 10 milligram THC beer with the effect in 20 to 30 minutes. Overall, I really wanted you guys all to take away from this is that the curiosity for cannabis, to have an ability to see it as something quite special, it's this overarching impact on this system behind a system, which I call it, and the endocannabinoid ohm, which is this intricate, huge part of controlling so many different physiological processes within our body. So thank you for listening to me. And we do have the advanced cannabis course, if anyone is wondering. So if you want more.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and it is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you again soon.